The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. The law of God is still in force today. It has not been done away. It was not nailed to the cross. Please get your Bible and let's go through a study of the law of God, and in particular, let's continue through the study of the Ten Commandments, focusing today on the eighth one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. Notice what the Apostle Paul said about the law of God. This is in the New Testament. God inspired Paul to write this about his commandments. It says in Romans 7 and verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law." Now, which law is he talking about? He goes on to tell us, "For I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet." That's found in the Ten Commandments. It's actually commandment number 10. You shall not covet. And Paul speaks favorably of that law. And Paul speaks in a positive, respectful way about that royal law of God. Notice what he says here in verse 12. "Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." Not bad, not bondage, not rigorous, not legalistic. The law is holy and just and good, Paul said. Now let's notice verse 22. Here's what his attitude was and his outlook was and viewpoint was about this Ten Commandment law. He says in verse 22, Romans 7, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." And then look what he said here in verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now, did you catch what Paul said about the law, about the Ten Commandments? He said, "I myself serve the law of God." How could he serve the law of God if it is done away? How could he serve the law of God if it was nailed to the cross? He couldn't. He could not have done that. He served the law of God because it was still in force in his day, and it's still in force in our day. And it's a wonderful law. It's the law of love. So today we're going to continue through our series of broadcasts on that law, the Ten Commandments, and we have now come to commandment number 8. Let's find out what the eighth commandment in the law of God says. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. Exodus 20 and verse 15 says this, commandment number 8, "You shall not steal." Now that's very easy to understand. It's very plain. It's upfront. It's clear. There's nothing confusing or complex about it or complicated. It simply says, "You shall not steal." Now, if you study these Ten Commandments, you will see that they are summed up in two great principles. The first four commandments are summed up by the great commandment, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul." And the last six commandments are summed up with this great commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." When you look into it a little further, you will see that the first four commandments are for the purpose of developing a very close relationship with God. And the last six commandments are there to develop a deep respect and love for other people, our neighbors. You can even break it down a bit further, and you'll see that three of the commandments in the last six have to do with protection of home and family, and life itself. The fifth one says, "Honor your father and mother," family. The sixth one says, "Do not kill," protection of life. The seventh one says, "Don't commit adultery," protection of family. And then that brings us to commandment number 8. This commandment has to do with respecting the property and possessions of others. And it has to do with having our property and possessions protected. "You shall not steal." Now, this commandment covers far more than armed robbery and grand larceny. It covers those things too. But stealing also involves the practice of con artists who prey on people, usually innocent, helpless, and sometimes elderly people, so that they can get something from them that isn't theirs. They do this over the telephone. They do it in person. They do it with slick, smooth talking as they promote schemes that are designed to do nothing else except defraud. And they take advantage of innocent people in the process, but they don't care. They just want to get their money by hook or by crook in any way they can. In some cases, they have stolen the life savings of elderly people that have worked hard and carefully saved their money to cover their expenses through their older years. And then these despicable con artists come along and just bilk them of every penny they have, and they're left completely broken of any finances. Does the con artist care about that? No. They only care about themselves, and who cares about who suffers as a result of their thievery? They certainly don't. Stealing also involves cheating the government out of lawful taxes. It's called tax evasion. Jesus Christ told those in his day, "Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's." False advertising designed to get money from others without the promised results is just another form of stealing. Well, if you take this pill and that pill and the other pill, you'll get this result, which never happens. And in some cases, they never send the pills. And if they do, there's nothing in the pill that'll do what they advertised it would do. Or some gadget. Or some tool. You order it, you pay for it, and start to use it, and before you know it, it's just broken apart and won't do a thing. But they've got their money, so who cares? Getting paid for work poorly done or never done at all is just outright stealing. Going to work, and while at the workplace, doing as little work as possible but getting paid as much as possible, is cheating your employer, the same as if you had walked up and just grabbed money right out of his pocket. Pilfering property from the workplace is nothing short of breaking the Eighth Commandment. I recall watching the news one time on television, and a shift change took place at a big auto plant. And this time, when the shift changed and the workers were coming off their jobs to make way for the next shift, they locked the gate and they announced that they were going to search the workers because there had been so much thievery taking place of tools and assets and supplies from the company. And as soon as they announced that, there was a clanging and banging and noisy discarding of all kinds of supplies and tools and property from the pockets of the workers as they were headed out from the plant to go home. And when they finally cleared that lot, it was just littered with things that those workers had been stealing on a regular basis from their employer. And, you know, the attitude was, well, if you can get away with it, do it. Turning in false business expense to your employer. That's cheating. That's stealing. That's taking something that is not yours. And the list simply goes on and on. It's endless. And quite often, this kind of action is simply shrugged off and excuses are made. Oh, well, they've got plenty of money. They won't even miss it. Or, well, they don't pay us enough, so I'm making up for it by taking things that I deserve. But God doesn't shrug it off. He issues a very stern warning about stealing in any and every form. And he tells us what that sin, and that's what it is, it's sin. He tells us what that sin brings on to everyone who engages in such despicable conduct and practice. When you really think about it, we are able to come into possession of things in only two acceptable ways. One is a free gift from someone else. That's wonderful. That's acceptable. That's a blessing. Or two, we are able to come into the possession of things through good, hard, earnest, diligent labor. Any other way that we come into possession of something, other than by way of a gift or by way of honest labor, is unacceptable in God's eyes. It involves stealing. It involves unlawful taking of something that is not ours, but that is actually others. And that includes gambling, which is a very popular quote-unquote pastime nowadays. But you know, it's a terrible addictive habit to get into that ends up breaking up homes, bankrupting people, and sinning against Almighty God. Gambling is nothing more than getting someone else's money without doing honest labor to earn it. Therefore, you're getting something that's his in an unethical way, in an unchristian way, in an unlawful way in God's eyes. Stealing also involves international actions on the part of nations. You can read in history where nations will simply decide, we're going to invade our neighboring country, we're going to take his oil, we're going to take his timber, we're going to take his land, his water, we're going to take his houses, because we can. We're more powerful than they are, we have a bigger army, we will trump up a pretense for invading that country, and we'll go and take it. And they do. It's happened over and over and over again. Hitler did it in World War II. He just simply invaded countries around Germany and took them over. That's stealing. The Soviet Union, the evil empire, as Ronald Reagan called it, just decided they're going to broaden their borders. And so they rolled in with their tanks and guns and soldiers and took over various nations around Russia. That's stealing and armed robbery on a grand scale in an international theater. Let's stop and think for a moment. Have you ever known a thief who likes it when someone else steals from them? Of course not. They think that they ought to be able to steal from anybody they decide to steal from if they can get away with it. They can go into a convenience store, they can go into a bank, or they can conduct a home invasion and just take whatever they want. What's the problem? They need it, and they're stealing from somebody who doesn't need it, they'll say. Or they're big enough to take it, so they'll take it. If you're not big enough to defend it, too bad. But now you let them get all of that stolen money or all of those stolen commodities stored up at their house, and then somebody break into their house, the thief's house, and steals it from them. Why? They'll shoot them. They'll chase them down. You don't steal from me. I can steal from you, but you better not steal from me. That's the twisted, weird, crazy, convoluted thinking of criminals and thieves and con artists that prey on other people, not caring whether or not they're breaking the Eighth Commandment, and not even realizing or not even caring whether or not they're going to have to answer to God for that. But they are. Now, breaking the Eighth Commandment does not always just involve some dramatic, widespread act of thievery. Shoplifting is stealing. Any kind of petty thievery is still stealing. A petty thief is a thief, and stealing is stealing. Cheating on a test at school or cheating on a paper in college and stealing the results of hard work from somebody else and claiming it for your own in order to get a good grade is simply thievery. It is sin. Let's just quickly review what God has to say about sin in terms of defining what it is. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It seems that so many people have so much trouble defining what sin is. Some will say, oh, it's missing the mark. Some will say it's doing bad things. Some will say it's not being nice. The Bible gets more pointed in defining what sin is. And it's very, very clear. It's unmistakable if we're honest with the scriptures. Let's notice it right here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. It's breaking the Ten Commandments. And the Eighth Commandment says, you shall not steal. So when we do that, we are sinning. We are breaking God's law, and we're going to have to pay the penalty. And the penalty is going to be very painful and very unpleasant. Ponzi schemes involve stealing. The people involved in that kind of action bilk millions of dollars from others through stock market fraud or in other ways. And it's nothing short of stealing money and possessions and property from others by defrauding them and through fraud. And anyone who does that is nothing more than just a common low-down thief. They strut around in their big cars and live in their big mansions and hobnob with the big people in their communities. But really and truly, when it all gets exposed, they're reduced down to being what they really are, and that is a common low-down vile thief. That's it. Let's see in God's Word a few more verses regarding what the Almighty God Himself has to say about thieves and stealing. Turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And now notice verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What does it say in verse 10? Nor thieves. Thieves, petty thieves, local thieves, national thieves, international stealing. All of it put together, God says, if it's not repented of and stopped and forgiven, is going to result in those individuals not being in his kingdom and not being given the blessings along the way that they could be receiving. This is what's going to happen to those who insist on stealing, on taking things from others that are not theirs. It's not a minor crime. It's not a petty action. It is major. It is sin, and it's going to bring punishment and penalty from God, and ultimately, if it's not repented of and changed, it's going to bring eternal death. Let's see that right over here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of stealing is death. For the wages of breaking the eighth commandment, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We could go on regarding how the world today is just riddled with all forms of stealing. It's so widespread, we can't even scratch the surface on pointing out where you will find it if you just take an honest look. Unions, for instance, who bilk their employers out of money and benefits without working the way they're paid to work, those unions are stealing. Employers who abuse and underpay their employees and their workers while overworking them and putting them in dangerous situations in the workplace are stealing from their workers. They are thieves. To love your neighbor as yourself means two basic principles regarding employers and employees. To guide the employers, here's the principle. A fair day's wage for a fair day's work. And to guide the employees, it should be this principle. A fair day's work for a fair day's wage. And that way everybody is treated well and treated right, and prosperity is shared among everyone. You know, if you think about this horrendous practice of stealing and of thievery, it doesn't have to go on. And if you've done it, or if you are doing that, it can stop. It can all be changed by an individual simply deciding to change it and asking God to help out. A nation does not have to bully and abuse other nations. Leadership can come into power and they can decide, we're not going to live like this and we're not going to conduct national and international business this way, and begin to respect their neighbors. You will hear of nations that are getting along pretty well, and then things start going kind of tough, and first thing you know, a coup happens, and a dictator comes on the scene, and he's got strong-armed men around him, and they'll start taking over farms and lands and money and property of the citizens of the nation, and they'll just turn them into slaves while they sit on the top of the heap in the lap of luxury. Who's going to change that? Well, occasionally there will be an uprising in a nation where that takes place, and the people are able to change it and replace the dictator with a representative form of government that's going to do things better toward them. But what's really going to change all of that on a grand scale is going to be Jesus Christ coming back to this earth with the kingdom of God. And then that kind of practice will be done away with everywhere. But right now, that can all be changed in an individual's life, if that individual decides to do so. Let's see how that can be changed. Let's turn over here to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Notice what God inspired Paul to write. Let him that stole steal no more. That's simple. Just decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to take grapes from the supermarket. I'm not going to pilfer tires off of somebody's car. I'm not going to go into somebody's garage and take a lawnmower. I'm not going to go to work and figure out a way to goof off and yet draw a full day's wage, having done little or no work. I'm not going to go to somebody's house and pretend to do a good job putting their roof on there, but instead do a lousy job and yet charge full price. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to conduct myself in that way ever again. I don't like it. I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. What I'm going to start doing is put in a good day's labor for a good day's wage. If you want to do that and live your life as a Christian, you can decide to. Paul is saying that right here, Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. You've known people who have lived successful lives, and you may be one of those people. You like to work. You like to lay out a good plan for a good week's work and get your tools and get your supplies and go to the workplace. And even though it's not going to be your house you're going to build, or it's not going to be your car you're going to repair, or it's not going to be your kitchen that you're going to clean up, it's going to be somebody else's. You go there and you get great joy out of doing a good job when you build that house and working hard. And when you're done, you can back off and say, I built that house just like I'd build my own house. I repaired that car just like I repair my own car. I cleaned that kitchen and the inside of that house just like I do my own house, but I did it for somebody else and they paid me for it. And I can go home with that paycheck and feel really good about it, because here's a real good paycheck for a real good day's work, or a week or a month's work. That's the way to live life. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what you can do and everybody can do. That's what God blesses. That's keeping the eighth commandment in the right way instead of breaking it and being a thief and stealing. A true Christian will work hard, produce above and beyond, and then be generous in sharing their blessings with others in need. Not with those that are just going to be lazy and indolent and take everything and do nothing. God created man to be productive, to live life fully, to taste the tremendous blessings that come from hard work and effective labor. You know what it feels like when you go put in a real good day's work and you can look and say, that was done really well, and then payday comes and you're given your check. And you go cash that check and you earned it. You earned every dollar. In fact, you maybe went above and beyond and gave more work for what you were paid, but that's okay. You did it right. If you employed people, isn't that the way you would want your workers to do? I would, and I think you would as well. Well, that's the way we can do and feel good about it and be blessed of God. And if you have a company and you treat your workers the way you'd want to be treated by the boss where you worked, you're going to be blessed for that. And the workers are going to be happy and your company is going to do well. And you can trace that kind of action to the law of God, to the commandments of God, and to keeping the commandments, which add up to loving your neighbor as yourself. Instead of stealing, you give, you serve, you're generous and respectful, and you honor that labor with a good wage and with a pat on the back and with a note or a word of appreciation. That spells success in the world of business, and it spells success for everybody who engages in their work with that kind of attitude. Going above and beyond, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, and turning in a good day's labor and being paid a good wage. And not stealing from anybody, but doing the opposite. Having an attitude of give. Now, we read about that over here in the book of Acts. Let's turn there now. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. You know, when you really think about life, there's two basic ways of life. There's two basic attitudes. One way is to give. The other way is to get. One way is to care and love. The other way is to hate and steal and lie and mistreat others. And every day we make those choices. And the end results of those choices come back. If we have an attitude of giving and serving and respecting others, good things are going to come back. On the other hand, if we have the attitude of getting and taking advantage of and stealing and lying to others, that's all going to come back to it. It's not going to be good. Nobody else can make that choice for us. We have to make it ourselves. Some people have learned that making the right choice is the way to go. And so they have an attitude of giving and serving, of working hard and of respecting those that work hard. Other people have made the choice of, I'm going to do as little as I can and get by with as much as I can without ever having to earn a thing if I can. So it's the attitude of get, take advantage, leech, like being a parasite and expecting others to support them. The world owes me a living. I'm not working. I'm going to avail myself of the good things produced by other people that work. Do you know that person's never going to be happy, never going to be successful, will never amount to anything except a failure. But if we follow Acts 20 and verse 35, we're going to be successes in life, and we're going to be happy, and we're going to make a lot of other people happy. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Of course, we can overwork and become workaholics and become unbalanced and neglect all kind of other responsibilities and opportunities in life. And God is not saying that we should do that. He's saying we should not do that. We ought to live balanced lives. But a balanced life which involves good, hard, honest work that produces wonderful results that we can enjoy and share with others is something that God wants us to do, and he'll be pleased with, and he'll bless us for it. And if you've ever totally submerged yourself in that way of life with that kind of attitude, you know that what it says right here is absolutely true. It is more blessed to give than to receive, instead of stealing and taking from others what is not yours. That never produces happiness, and it never produces success. But this does. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When we follow that code of conduct, it will wipe out stealing in all of its ugly forms. And that will be the way of life in the world tomorrow in the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth to establish his truth everywhere for everyone to follow. That way of life that he will bring will be based on God's law and keeping all 10 of the commandments, including commandment number 8. We would like to send you our free magazine, Straightforward. This publication is chock full of interesting articles, news and prophecy, Christian living, articles on happy family life, and the greatness of God and his ways that really work. In order to receive your free subscription to Straightforward, just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.